Chapter 7. "I'm going to need your help tomorrow, Nevaeh," Dad said at dinner the night before the race. "Okay," Nevaeh agreed, her eyes locked on her phone. She was scrolling through last-minute racing tips on Black Girls Run, a blog Mom shared with her as part of her training program. "This'll be more useful than that Classy K, or whatever her name is," Mom proclaimed when she shared it. So far, she had been right. Nevaeh reread the post for the third time, repeating each tip to herself so she wouldn't forget. Get good sleep. Eat a high-carb meal. Drink plenty of water. Nevaeh took another gulp of water and placed a large forkful of spaghetti into her mouth. Her legs twitched with excitement as she imagined herself flying around the track. Could she beat Jonique? The thought of so many people watching made her stomach tremble. "Nevaeh, did you hear me?" Dad snapped. "Can you put the phone down, please?" "Okay," she grumbled, laying her phone down and trying to hide her annoyance. After all, Christian had on his headphones and was staring at his tablet like always. Yet Dad never said anything to him. Mom would never have let them eat at the table with their devices, but she was in the bedroom, resting, as usual. She hadn't eaten at the dinner table in days. "Mom's next chemo is tomorrow morning," Dad began, rubbing his temples slowly like he had a bad headache. He looked as if he had not slept in days. "I've been shifting my schedule every which way to be here and be with Mom, but there's no one to cover my route early tomorrow." He shook his head wearily. "So maybe just reschedule," Nevaeh suggested. Dad shook his head. "These treatments are her best shot, Nevaeh," he explained. "She needs them on a regular schedule for them to be effective. We don't want her to miss or change any of that. You understand?" Nevaeh nodded, wondering what her father wanted her to do. "I can take Christian to Little Learning Spot for the day. Mrs. Stephanie and Tara Carson will watch him for us. I'll drop you guys off at the hospital by 8:30. I know Mom's not going to want to take the bus afterwards, so you'll need to get a cab or Uber to bring her home." "Wait," Nevaeh interrupted, her head beginning to spin. "You want me to go to her treatment?" The idea of watching her mother undergo a medical procedure was terrifying. And then there was the race. Nevaeh realized what Dad was asking would make her miss it. "But I can't." "I need you, Nevaeh. Mom needs you." "But tomorrow, look, all you'll have to do is sit in the waiting room for an hour or so. And then," he sighed wearily, "then you help get her home. If I can get someone to cover for me, I'll be there. But just in case I can't," his voice dropped, "I need you to help out. You know how it goes after these treatments." Nevaeh winced. She had seen Mom go through several treatments already, and each one seemed to leave her weaker than the last. "But does it have to be tomorrow morning?" Dad frowned. "Yes, Nevaeh, I told you. These doses are Mom's best shot to..." "But can't we do it in the afternoon? Or the next day?" She pleaded, thinking of the race and all the hype on her posts. "Does it have to be tomorrow morning?" "Why? What's up tomorrow?" Nevaeh was about to tell Dad about the race at the track, but then stopped herself. Compared to Mom's treatments, it sounded unimportant and silly. Nevaeh shook her head. "I was just gonna... never mind," she finished, then added quickly, "I can be there for her." "Can't race you tomorrow. Thursday instead?" Did that sound right? "Can't race in the morning. Can we race later in the day?" Was that better? "Looking forward to beating you, but need to do it at a different time. You pick." Too challenging. Too confident. Nevaeh typed and erased the message over and over again. What to say? Should she send a direct message to Jonique? Or should she post her message to her account and tag Jonique so everyone could see it? Kareem and a few other Bluford students had said they were coming to watch, but Nevaeh wondered if that was even true. "Do I have to say anything at all?" Nevaeh wondered. For a moment, she imagined what could happen if people showed up at the track and she wasn't there. "Told you she was scared," Jonique would say with her hand on her hips and satisfaction on her face. "I knew she wouldn't show. She knew she'd get beat." Nevaeh's stomach flipped just imagining Jonique's smug face. She bent over her phone and started again. "Jonique, can we race another day? My mom is sick and I have to go with her to the hospital." Nevaeh stared at the words. They were simple and true, and it seemed fair to reach out to Jonique directly instead of posting something for everyone. She hit send and waited. If Jonique were online, she might answer right away. But when 5 minutes became 30 and then stretched into an hour and still no response came, Nevaeh began to wonder if she had made a mistake. "Nevaeh, you ready?" Dad boomed, knocking hard on her bedroom door. "We gotta go." Nevaeh sat up, surprised to see the morning sun streaming through her window. Her phone was still on the bed next to her, where she kept it waiting to hear from Jonique. She grabbed it to look for updates, but the screen stayed dark. She realized she had never plugged it in. "Come on, Nevaeh." Dad opened the door just as she climbed out of bed. "Get off that phone and get dressed. There's no time this morning," he yelled. "I'm coming," she snapped, reaching for a clean t-shirt and her shoes. "2 minutes." Dad muttered angrily under his breath and slammed the door so she could get dressed. They arrived tense and quiet at the hospital a short time later. "Have a seat. They'll call you when they're ready," grumbled the male nurse at the reception desk when Mom checked in. He pointed to rigid chairs arranged in clusters throughout the waiting area. Mom nodded and headed toward an empty seat in the nearest corner. Seeing her out in public, under the harsh, fluorescent light of the hospital, Nevaeh was struck by how much her mother had changed. Only a month ago, most of her clothes were snug over her shoulders. Now her blouse looked baggy and oversized. Mom was walking differently, too. Normally, she would cross the room in long, easy strides, but today she moved slowly, as if each step took effort. But what stood out most to Nevaeh was Mom's hair. Once thick and black, it had thinned noticeably, and small, bald patches of her scalp were visible. Nevaeh pretended not to see as she sat down next to Mom and spotted the clock on the wall. It was almost 9 o'clock. The race. "Is there somewhere I can charge my phone?" Nevaeh asked a passing nurse's aide in navy blue scrubs and thick glasses.
"The main lobby by the elevators or the cafeteria," the aide grumbled,
seeming bothered by the question, but Nevaeh couldn't help it. She wondered if Jonique had answered her message or rescheduled their race. Nevaeh wanted to run to the lobby to charge, but she knew she couldn't leave Mom alone. Frustrated, she shoved the dead phone in her pocket and waited. That's when she noticed the other people seated in the waiting area. A young, hollow-eyed woman, her head wrapped in a maroon scarf, sat alone across from them. A middle-aged man with a cane and a head bandage slouched in a chair behind her. He held hands with a nervous-looking blonde woman who hovered close, studying his face intently. A slender, elderly lady nodded off in the back corner of the room. A younger man, her son Nevaeh figured, hunched in the seat next to her, filling out forms. All of them were likely battling cancer too, Nevaeh realized. It was a secret war that she had never witnessed, a fight that made her frustration about her phone seem small and petty. Just then, the heavy doors outside the treatment area opened, and a new nurse stepped into the waiting room, an electronic tablet in her hand.
"Amaya Kendrick?" she called.
Nevaeh helped her mother to the doorway. As soon as the nurse ushered Mom inside, Nevaeh rushed to the lobby area to charge. Within minutes, her phone began to buzz with a flurry of notifications and messages. "Where are you at? Can't believe you didn't show. You left me hanging." And finally, the words, "Check this," followed by a link. Nevaeh clicked and saw a video of Jonique standing on Bluford's track in her racing singlet. "So I'm here, y'all, and ready to run, but guess who ain't?" She spun her camera around to show the desolate track. The camera lingered on the faces of the gathered crowd, just a few people really, standing on the track or sitting in the bleachers. Nevaeh spotted Malika and Kareem right away, and she recognized other members of Bluford's track team before Jonique swung the camera back to her smug face. "Some of y'all might be surprised, not me. Some people like to talk tough, pretending they something when they ain't nothing. Then at the last minute, they got some sad excuse. You know that girl texted me, 'My mama sick,' last night? Yeah, right. You ought to be ashamed of a lie like that." Jonique shook her head. "We all know the real reason she didn't show." "What?" Nevaeh exclaimed in the crowded hospital lobby. Shock, anger, and hurt washed over her in waves as the video continued. Jonique handed her phone to someone else. Seconds later, she was sprinting away, legs and arms pumping furiously. No doubt, she was quick. Maybe faster than ever, Nevaeh noticed. "That's why." Jonique beamed into the camera triumphantly after her short sprint. "I'm a real one. This here's my track. Don't nobody forget it." The video ended, but Nevaeh kept staring, her mind storming at Jonique's words. "I reached out to you. I told you the truth. All I asked for was time." Nevaeh wanted to shout for the whole world to hear, yet already, comments were appearing under Jonique's video. She a coward. Bad karma to lie like that. Hope her mom really does get sick. She messed around. Now she gonna find out. Nevaeh cursed and nearly threw her phone in disgust. She yanked her charge cable from the wall and stormed back to the waiting room, her pulse pounding harder than her final sprint up Baldwin Hill. "I'll prove it," she told herself. Grabbing a seat by the nursing station, Nevaeh lifted her phone and snapped a selfie in the waiting area. She posted it immediately, hoping the image would show everyone the truth. But within seconds, negative responses filled her screen. "You ought to be ashamed lying like that. This girl has serious problems. Stop with the fake pics. Might be true, though." The last one was posted by a familiar account, Kareem DaDream 345. Nevaeh frowned. Might be true. Might. He had defended her in English class and on Baldwin Hill, but now he didn't seem sure. Nevaeh looked around the waiting area angrily. Maybe she could take another picture. A picture with the date or another person? She stood up and turned so that she could frame herself and the nursing station in her phone's camera. That's when she noticed the young woman with the headscarf watching her. Her unblinking brown eyes and pained face stunned Nevaeh. She looked at her own face in the phone screen and hated what she was doing. It seemed so wrong to intrude on the poor woman and her fellow patients. She knew Mom would be furious with her too. "Miss, put that camera away," boomed a voice from behind her. Nevaeh turned to face the stern-faced aide from earlier. He pointed angrily at her phone. "This is a hospital, and patients have a right to privacy. Filming is not permitted here. Turn it off or I'll call security." Nevaeh could feel many eyes in the room staring at her in disapproval, and she agreed with them. Yet she hated that people were lying about her and that complete strangers were joining in. Their posts were mean, wrong, untrue, and yet they kept coming.
Notifications buzzed her phone like mad rabid bees.
"I'm sorry," Nevaeh replied, her face searing with embarrassment and shame.
Nevaeh's phone continued to flash with notifications and comments when Mom emerged from her treatment, woozy and weak, and trying not to retch. On the slow Uber ride home, Nevaeh put the phone down to hold Mom's hands as she struggled to not get sick in the car. It was then Nevaeh decided, for the first time ever, that she was done with social media.
"You haven't been running as much," Mom said, taking a weak sip of tea.
2 weeks had passed since she missed the race against Jonique. That night, Nevaeh deleted every one of her social media apps. She knew it did not solve her issues with Jonique, but it was better than seeing her nonsense day and night all summer.
"No," Nevaeh admitted.
She hadn't told her mother what happened at the hospital, and she wasn't about to, especially not after watching Mom's daily struggles. She had continued to lose weight and now wore scarves to hide her thinning hair. Simple tasks, like standing up, were getting harder. So much harder that Dad had brought home a walker and a portable wheelchair for her. So far, Mom refused to use them.
"I can get around just fine," she had declared the night he brought them home.
The walker sat unused in the corner of the living room, while the wheelchair stayed folded up in the closet. On good days, Mom could get herself from her bed to the couch, though she often had to grip the wall or lean on someone to make it. Sometimes the effort left her exhausted, and she would fall asleep after reaching her destination. There were more pills, too. Some treated her cancer, and others were supposed to relieve the side effects of radiation and chemo. But despite all the medicines, Mom was still in pain, something Nevaeh could see her trying to hide even now.
"So why aren't you running?"
"I just been busy," Nevaeh lied. She set a protein drink on the folding tray next to her mother's chair.
"Please drink it, Mom. You know what the doctor said about getting more nutrition."
Mom ignored the drink and stared at Nevaeh.
"You know cross-country tryouts are in a few weeks. They still do them at Baldwin Hill.
I keep thinking you should go out for it."
A tired smile lit her thinning face.
"You know, family legacy and all that. Those long, skinny legs give you an advantage in distance races. Trust me, I know.
And the way you raced up that hill in that video?"
Mom shook her head.
"Bluford's got a good team. You'd make them better."
Nevaeh could not shake the ugly words people said about her in their posts. She knew some came from possible teammates at Bluford. All the drama would start again, and it would be even worse. A fresh wave of anger blazed inside her.
"I'm not interested."
"What?" Mom blinked in confusion.
"Why not?"
Nevaeh shrugged and crossed her arms.
"I probably wouldn't make it. Like you said, they already got a good team."
She tried to sound as if she didn't care.
"Besides, they don't want me."
Mom put her tea down with a thud. Nevaeh felt her mother's gaze focus on her like a spotlight. She wondered if her mom knew what really happened with Jonique. Back in middle school, Mom used to monitor her social media from time to time to see what she posted. It was long ago, but maybe she had been doing it again now that she was stuck at home.
"Nevaeh, I know I've been struggling," Mom began, taking a deep breath.
"I can't do most of what I used to do, and not even half of what I need to do. We've asked so much from you, from shopping and cooking and looking after Chris. I know I'll need your help until..." Her voice faltered.
"Until I get better.
But I don't want you to stop running to take care of me."
"No, Mom, that's not it."
Nevaeh sat down next to her and grabbed her hand. It was slender and delicate, but also soft and warm.
"It's just..."
Nevaeh searched for an answer her mother would accept.
"There are some girls on the team who don't like me very much," she confessed. "We got into it over..."
a project at school at the end of the year, she added quickly before her mother could ask questions. No big deal, just, Nevaeh shrugged, you know, school. Mom frowned. A project? She asked knowingly, or was it a race? Nevaeh felt something collapse inside her. An invisible wall crashed down. Mom reached out and stroked Nevaeh's face with her soft, thin hand and smiled sadly. I'm sorry you missed your race because of me. Tears welled in Nevaeh's eyes. I don't care about that. Of course you do. And you should, Mom interrupted angrily. You would have whooped that girl's behind, too. She laughed, wiping away Nevaeh's tears. And trust me, I remember them days. Girls can be so mean, but you can't let them stop you. Try out for the team, Nevaeh. If you make it, they'll shut up. They may not like you, but they'll respect you. But what if I don't make it? Nevaeh interrupted. They could get worse. You'll make it. But I know it's scary, Nevaeh. I do. But you don't want to stay on the sidelines, missing out on your life, just because of some girl's dumb comments. Don't let that happen, you hear me? Mom pleaded. The words stirred in Nevaeh's chest. That day you ran Baldwin Hills, something special happened. I saw it. Even Chris mentioned it. Running gave you a goal and a purpose. It made you stronger. You gotta run with it. You see what I did there? A smile flickered on Mom's face. To be honest, maybe that's what I need too. A goal, Mom continued. Fighting this cancer, it's hard. Really hard. She inhaled deeply and sighed. Sometimes I wonder if I'm gonna win. Nevaeh hugged her mother then, pressing herself into the loose fabric of Mom's shirt. You got this, Mom, she murmured. I know it. Mom squeezed Nevaeh back and then pulled away, wiping her eyes quickly. Well, I'm going to keep fighting, that's for certain. And if I can do that, you can try out for cross country. Wouldn't it be something if both of us got pictures in that trophy case? Mom paused as if she was seeing the image in her mind. So, are you in? Nevaeh stared into her mother's face. Hope and determination glimmered in Mom's eyes. They made her look stronger than she had in weeks. Nevaeh took a deep breath, knowing her answer was as much for her mother as it was for herself. Okay, she agreed. I'll do it. I'll try out. A grin spread across Mom's face. That's it. You got this. Those girls won't have nothing to say when you make the team. Mom hesitated, then smiled again. And I'm gonna get myself together so I can take you to tryouts. Yeah, she said, more to herself than to Nevaeh. We'll go to Baldwin Hill together, you'll see. Now hand me that protein drink. Nevaeh obeyed, and Mom took a swig from the bottle and grimaced. I think you're gonna have to help me get to the bathroom, she began, then stopped and gestured for the walker. Hand me that thing, Nevaeh, she said. I gotta practice moving on my own. Nevaeh rushed to place the walker in her grasp. Mom gripped the frame and slowly stepped forward, grunting with effort. She then shifted it forward and took two more steps before pausing to rest. You see, Nevaeh? Mom smiled weakly. I'm training too.